If you'd like to follow along with us in the text, and I invite you to follow along and stay there, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Begin reading at verse 3 and read through verse 7. For endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. It's believed that this is the last epistle that Paul wrote, and he refers several times to Timothy as a young man. And it's supposed that Timothy was about 35 at this time. Young is one of those relative terms. To an individual aged as Paul, Timothy would be a young man. If a person is 90, I suppose a person who's 50 would be a young individual. But anyway, Paul sought to encourage Timothy in Timothy's work as an evangelist. And he makes allusions here, comparisons to three different secular occupations. He talks in verse 3 about the soldier. He talks in verse 5, if a man strive for masteries, and I like better what the Revised says, if a person competes in the games, and he's talking about an athlete here. And thirdly, he talks about the husbandman or the farmer. Things that we can all understand and glean a good lesson from, I believe. All who serve the Lord should be able to learn from the words that Paul writes to Timothy. And no matter what our function as members of the body of Christ, I believe there's something that's in there for each one of us. First, let's look at, as he presents the picture to Timothy, the aspect of the soldier. And I think what he's trying to get across to Timothy is the dedication of a soldier. In our text, verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The soldier is an individual who we know must endure many hardships, many difficulties, laboring depending on where they are under threat of life. I know my middle stepson Josh had two tours in Iraq and under threat of life often. The soldier must be long-suffering. He signed up for a tour of 4 years. Some individuals, after their tour of duty is over, they re-enlist. The Army makes it attractive to them by offering them a huge bonus, and some of them decide to take them up. We know that soldiers often endure great hardship for their country. And they're not there simply to make a living, earn a dollar, but I think a lot of it is dedication to their country and the ideals that the country stands for. With you and I, as Christians, should we be any less willing to suffer hardship for the gospel of Christ? Earlier in this same book, Paul writes in chapter 1, verse 8. Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. It's believed by most that Timothy was a somewhat timid individual. And we might remember timid Timothy. And Paul is saying a lot of the things that he says in his writings to get Timothy to step up and to step forward and to be stronger with presenting the gospel. The dedication of the soldier. We see that he is long-suffering. We see, secondly, that he is a focused individual. Can you imagine a soldier in the heat of battle that's not focused on what he's supposed to be doing? Ammunition is flying all over, and he's ducking down, and here he lets his mind wander to somewhere else. No, you can't see that happening, can you? No one engaged in warfare, Paul says in verse 4 of our text, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. A successful soldier is going to be an individual who remains focused upon what he's got to do at hand. They have to concentrate on that task in order to survive under threat of life. What about you and I? Should we be any more careful that we not become distracted with the task that we have in hand? Is it possible that sometimes in life we kind of forget what we're supposed to be doing? Do we have to bring ourselves back to reality? Hey, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, and you know, I need to be doing this, or I need not to be doing that. Remember in Luke the 8th chapter, the parable of the sower, and how the seed fell on different types of ground. In the 14th verse, it talks about the seed springing forth, but then it was choked with the cares and pleasures and riches of this life. So it brought forth no fruit to maturity. If we as Christians, as soldiers of Jesus Christ, are not focused in upon what we're supposed to be doing, we're never going to reach that mature state of spirituality. The dedication of the soldier, long-suffering, focused, and thirdly, he or she must be devoted to the cause. The Bible uses the word devout a lot of times. And if you knock out the U and put an ED on the end, you have the word, a pretty good definition of devout, devoted. Why should the soldier be devoted? The end of verse 4, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Do you ever think about the soldier in general tries to please his commanding officer? And I don't care how battle-hard and battle-tested they are, what a grizzled veteran they are of warfare, I think they still would like some commendation from their commander. Should not we strive to please the great commander? Note Paul's attitude concerning himself. He wrote these words to the church at Corinth. We labor to be accepted of him. In many facets of life, we like commendation. We like somebody to say, job well done. I corresponded with my younger one last night, and he was telling me about a promotion that he got at work, and I was telling him that I was I didn't say proud. I said thrilled with your accomplishments. And, you know, he emailed back and said thanks. But anyway, in any aspect of life, we like to hear individuals commend us. The next time you see a soldier who serves his or her country with honor, ask yourself, and be honest, do I serve my Lord and his kingdom with the same dedication? The dedication the soldier gives, do I serve God the same way? Am I dedicated the same way? The second picture he presents, this is going to go over 15 minutes, but that's all right, I got up here early. The second thing that he presents from verse 5, if any man strive for masteries, and I said that I like the revised version better, if a man also contend in the games, he's talking about an individual who is athletic, who is in a contest. And what does he do? The end of verse 5 says, he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. He must compete within the bounds of the rules. Athletes understand the need to abide by the rules if they desire to be winners. Again, the lesson for you and I. Are Christians under any less obligation to abide by the rules? We see individuals today who are very religious, individuals who put many members of the church to shame with the lives that they live, but they're not abiding within the rules. They're not following the rule book, and they've gone outside of the boundaries there. Jesus calls upon us to observe what he taught. Remember what he said to his disciples after his resurrection? You teach them to observe all things whatever I've commanded you. So it's what he commands that is important. And he also tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. James says in James chapter 1, verse 22. So the athlete is obedient to the rules. Secondly, he's self-controlled. And that's a good lesson for you and I. The comparison that the Apostle Paul gives with Timothy, he also has given earlier to the church at Corinth, talking about the importance of the athlete competing within the rules. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and this is verses 24 through 27, and we're not going to turn there and read, but he says that everyone who strives for mastery, or everyone who competes in the games, is a temperate individual or self-controlled. I don't see it so much in football where they toss individuals out of the game for misbehavior, but we see it a lot in baseball, don't we? Individuals who lose their temper, they don't like a call third strike, and they throw their bat and their glove, and they say abusive words to the umpire, and pretty soon the umpire has had enough, and he says, you're out of here. Well, they've lost their self-control. They've lost their ability to maintain themselves. As Christians, is it any less important that we exercise self-control in our lives? We strive for an imperishable crown. Paul talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. He said, we strive for a crown that is incorruptible. And those athletes had striven for a crown that was corruptible. You know what the crown consisted of in the Grecian games? And the Isthmus Games, say that fast three times. The crown consisted of simply a laurel or olive leaves or even pine needles. Can you imagine, okay, you've got a nice crown of greenery there. You've won the race. You've won the contest. We're going to put that on your head, okay? Can you imagine what that crown looks like in, let's say, a month? It begins to wither and tatter, and who wants it around? This is the crown that I won? But Paul says, you know, people knock themselves out to win this imperishable crown. But he said, we strive for the imperishable crown. That crown of life, that beautiful thing that fades not away. As you watch athletes compete in different sports, let the example of their self-discipline challenge you in your service to the Lord. Look at how hard they train. Look at what they do. Do I do that for the Lord? And thirdly, he gives us the example of the diligence of the farmer. Look at verse 6. The husbandman, the farmer, that labors must first be partaker of the fruits. We see the diligence of the farmer that's exemplary for us. He said the diligent husbandman, the hard-working farmer. I've never done any farming, not really. I know years ago I used to run the rototiller for my mom and my aunts, and that was enough for me. They did the weeding and the planting and the picking, but hard work. And I look at individuals today who farm for a living. And I know there's farm machinery and it makes things easier and all, but still that's not a profession that many people would go after. For you and I, should Christians today labor any less in the vineyard of the Lord than the diligent farmer? Jesus said the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The fruit that we gather is that which relates to eternal life. The individuals that we may have an effect on in this life, the diligence of the farmer, the hard-working farmer, and our last point, the motivation the farmer has. Can you imagine what it takes to motivate himself to get out there and get with it and plant and cultivate and at the end harvest? And remember this. We work 1 week and we receive a paycheck the following week or sometimes every 2 weeks. With farming, it's not like that. It's not a plant one day and in 2 weeks you're eating green beans. No. Patience with the farmer. Motivated to be patient. Do we have the motivation to labor diligently for the Lord? I know there are ups and downs in life, and I know life is busy. It's extremely busy. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He takes note of the things that we do, of the labor that we give, and he holds out the reward for us. And winding this thoughts up, from these pictures of faithful service, we see that we need to be dedicated like soldiers, disciplined like athletes, and diligent like farmers. Thanks for listening. We'll go into our Bible study period now.